Blog Talk Radio.
You have tuned in to the Brain Injury Radio Network with shows 7 nights a week. You can find the network at braininjuryradio.com or look up Brain Injury Radio Network on Facebook.
Another Fork in the Road with your host, Donna O'Donnell Fugerski.
Hi, and welcome to the Brain Injury Radio Network on blogtalkradio.com. My name is Donna O'Donnell Fugerski, and I am your host on my show, Another Fork in the Road. My show airs on the first and third Sunday of every month at 5:30 p.m. Pacific Time. Another Fork in the Road is for anyone with a brain injury, anyone who is caring for a brain-injured person, or anyone with any interest in learning more about brain injury. Brain injury is not discriminating. It can happen to anyone, anytime, and anywhere. And believe me, it does. The Brain Trauma Foundation states that there are more than 5 million people in the United States living with some form of brain injury. But most folks do not even know about brain injury. And to tell you the truth, I know I never did. I never did, not until it came to live on my doorstep. On Another Fork in the Road, I try to raise awareness of brain injury and to help folks to understand what survivors and caregivers experience. On the third Sunday of each month, I interview brain injury survivors or caregivers to see how they traverse their world of brain injury. I host therapists, medical professionals, and authors to gain insight into what they offer survivors. And on each first Sunday of the month, which we are in right now, I host a discussion panel to examine pertinent topics related to brain injury, such as depression, neurofatigue, anger, or various symptoms of brain injury. And there are just so many of them. So for about a little bit about me, so for those of you who may be new to my show, here's just a little snippet. I came on the brain injury scene in 2005 when my husband David had a brain injury. And you can learn more about that on my blog. And this is all where I always remember to tell you to have a pencil and paper nearby, because I will be throwing out URLs for websites that you might want to visit after the show. After the show, remember that part. So anyhow, you might want to check out my blog, survivingtraumaticbraininjury.com. I'll say it one more time, survivingtraumaticbraininjury.com. And that's all one word, and it's all lowercase. You can find out a lot of information there. I shared David's and my story in 4 episodes on this very show, starting in August of 2014, and the last of which in November 2014 featured a discussion with David himself. So you get to hear, for several shows, you hear my version of the brain injury, of David's brain injury, and the last show, you get to hear his comments about it. So it's really interesting. So and then I also interviewed David on my April 19, 2020 show. So that's just a year and a half ago, I guess, now. But for his perspective on his brain injury after that was 15 years. And because he's a retired professor of microbiology, I wanted his understanding of the COVID-19 pandemic. Remember, that's when we were all going into isolation and hibernation or whatever for the COVID pandemic. And, we never knew what was going to come of that. But David was studying that really intensely. And was I was really, you know, wanting to get his perspective of what the pandemic was and how people should address it. And the great part is David puts it in laypeople's terms. So it's not the highfalutin scientific stuff that I have no idea what he's talking about when he goes there. So that's really interesting. So you can find that at Surviving Traumatic Brain Injury. I think there's a whole section on just COVID. And then you can find my archive shows on my blog, again, at survivingtraumaticbraininjury.com. And when you get to that site, just click on the air show menu. So you have to go to the show menu tab. Under the category section, it's on the right side bar, and it's really easy. And then you can find, you know, if you type David's name there, David Figurski, in the search box on the right sidebar, you can learn so much more about all of that stuff I'm just telling you about. You can also read our complete story in my book. It's called Prisoners Without Bars, A Caregiver's Tale, which was published by Right Life Publishing, and it was released in November of 2018. You can find Prisoners, as I so fondly call it, as an ebook and as a print book and as an audio book now, too. It's also available by audio, and you can find them all at your local book cons. And, so if you don't find them, ask for them to be ordered. Or you can go to Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, all those things, you know, and just order them. But go to the library. If you want to read it for free, go to the library. Let your friends know, too. So you can go to my website, DonnaFigurski.com, to learn more about me. So I'm hoping that tonight you're going to find my show fun and informative. And I hope that you'll visit with the shows of other hosts on the Brain Injury Radio. There are shows every night between 7 and 10 p.m. Pacific Time. And you can also tune in at 5:30 p.m. Pacific Time on the weekends, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays, to listen to your favorite shows, too. Brain Injury Radio airs across the United States, in every state, and also in 36 countries. So now, sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. And tonight's show is called Getting Through the Holidays. And if you're here with me now, you got through the holidays. Somehow or another, we've made it to the new year, and we've gotten through most of the major winter holidays. Now we're going to go and look forward to Valentine's Day, things that aren't as intense as what we've just gone, the weeks and months we've just gone through. But you survived Halloween, right? You ate your way through Thanksgiving. We're just coming off those winter holidays, the Christmas and Hanukkah and Kwanzaa. Diwali. We can't forget Diwali and Ramadan. And, of course, New Year's Eve. They've all passed. So that works, you know, for us at this point. We made it through. So many holidays are supposed to be fun, you know. I'm losing my train of thought here. I was doing something else, and you can't do two things at once, Donna. Anyhow, so they're supposed to be fun, and they're supposed to include but they also include their share of stress. They're not supposed to, but they do, and frustration is involved. Many extra responsibilities are thrust upon us. Buying presents, cooking special dinners, entertaining extended family members, and frolicking at the office or family parties are just some of the things that have to be done with a smile. Can you hear me smiling? Yeah. Throw in travel to visit family and friends, and I can guarantee a passel of weary folks. Add the COVID-19 pandemic into the mix, and you almost have pandemonium. Yeah. For those living with brain injury who can barely just get by in their daily lives, this time of the year, and any holiday for that matter, can be a nightmare. Think about it. If it's a nightmare they're not trying to paint them all to be nightmares, but they can be tedious and hard to deal with. But you know, it's just stressful getting the right present for the right person and that kind of stuff. But the extra fuss and the bother, the excitement, the parties and the noise can throw a person off track. If you have a brain injury, it can really toss you off the tracks. So how do folks with brain injury, an injury that has forever altered their lives, deal with all the happy, smiling faces around them? How hard is it to put on a happy face when you are in pain, whether it be physical pain or emotional pain? It's not easy. On today's show, another year getting through the holidays, we're going to talk about how folks deal with the holidays, and maybe we'll even hear a few suggestions on how to make the holidays less overwhelming. Some folks from social media have agreed to share their thoughts and suggestions on this talk, and I'm grateful to them. So now I want to introduce my panelists for tonight. So let me tell you a little bit about each of them. So my first panelist I'm going to talk about is Barbara Wilson, and Barbara has been a friend on social media for many years now, and recently Barbara has joined several of the panel discussions, and I'm so happy to have her here. So I want to thank Barbara for stepping up with this evening again, and I just want to welcome her. And hang on, I'm gonna unmute some things before I go on there. Okay, so let me tell you a little bit about Barbara. While working as an agent for the IRS, Internal Revenue Service, in the BSA division, the Banking Secrecy Act, we have a lot of acronyms here with Barbara. Barbara dealt with money laundering, terrorist activity, and human trafficking. I mean, those are all absolutely fascinating. And actually, they would each make a wonderful novel. You know, I mean, how many people like to read books about money laundering? Actually, there's the Ozarks. There's a movie that we watch or a series we watch about money laundering. It's very fascinating. I never heard anything, you know, never really knew anything about it, but it's not something I want to get involved in. But terrorist activity and human trafficking, those are really interesting topics that could definitely make books. So Barbara, you should get writing. But sadly, Barbara was also exposed to poisonous chemicals in the form of pesticides while she was on job sites. And it took several days of exposure before Barbara realized the gravity of her problem. Over a two-week span, Barbara's symptoms intensified. Shortness of breath and cognitive issues sent her to the emergency room. And since her injury, Barbara has been trying to overcome the difficulties that her brain injury presents to her. And it seems like as the years go by, she is dealing with more and more things that are cropping up, whether it be because of the injury or whatever, but there's things going on, and I'm sure she'll talk about things. So as a co-founder of Helping Hands Club, Barbara helps families have Thanksgiving meals, and she just served more than 70 families this past Thanksgiving. She told me about that recently, and it was like, wow, that's really cool. The Helping Hands Club, which is a nonprofit, has partnered up with a shelter that deals with domestic violence. So Barbara's out there really helping a lot of people with this program. And you can learn more about Barbara Wilson on my blog, survivingtraumaticbraininjury.com. Again, find the search button in the right sidebar, type her name, and you can find her interview on Survivors Speak Out. Or you can find it there. If you actually just go to Survivors Speak Out, you can find, well, I would do it the way I said. It's probably easier. Put her name in, and it'll pop up. You can also listen to Barbara on my show about anoxic brain injury, and it's under the category On the Air Show menu. Scroll to, and I'm going to give you a date, May 7th, 2017. Again, if you put Barbara's name in, you're going to find everything that she's involved with on surviving traumatic brain injury. And as I just mentioned, she's got a fascinating story. So I'm really pleased to have Barbara join my panel this evening. So hi, Barbara, and welcome again to Another Fork in the Road.
Thank you, Donna.
You're welcome. And panelist Gail Wakin is a survivor of multiple brain injuries, 12 to be exact. And, so most of Gail's injuries are sports-related, and they happened throughout her life. But her most challenging brain injury happened in 2015 when she was involved in a car accident and suffered a whiplash. It's hard to believe that a whiplash can cause a brain injury, but it definitely can and does. I actually know several survivors that entered the brain injury community with that same injury, and many of them had to figure it out themselves because the doctors were not able to put their finger on what it was. Because, like I said, you don't think you're going to get a brain injury with whiplash, but, yeah, you can. So in Gail's own words, she is, quote, an artist, educator, life strategist, and a TBI expert. Gail Wakin is also the author of Heal Your TBI and Heal Their TBI. And I know that Gail has a new book that she just released recently, and I'll let her tell you about that in just a few moments. But these books can be downloaded free on Gail's website. And her website is, all one word, all lowercase, healyourtbi.com. So that's really easy. I'll say it one more time, healyourtbi.com. You can also learn more about Gail on my blog. And there's going to be a test at the end of this show to find out if you really listen to what my blog name is, survivingtraumaticbraininjury.com. Find the search button in the right sidebar and type Gail's name to read her interview on Survivors Speak Out. And I'm pleased to have Gail join my panel this evening. So hi, Gail, and welcome.
Thank you. Hello. Great to be here.
Hi. Just quickly tell us what your third book is that we would be interested in.
It's a workbook for high school students, and it's called The Concussion Conversation Starter, workbook for bringing focus back after a concussion.
Okay. And that's good for high schoolers because with all the football players in high school and the soccer and the volleyball, there's a lot of concussion floating around high schools. So that's a very interesting big concept for them to be thinking about if that happens to them. But you know what? Sometimes I think it's even better to be forewarned. You know, check things out beforehand, know about it in advance, and it'll be easier if it does happen to you. So let's get on with the show here now. So I just want to say, wow, where did our year go? Frankly, it seems like only yesterday we were ringing in the year 2000, and here we are greeting 2022, 22 years later. I mean, I can remember where I was and what I was doing in 2000. I can't remember what I was doing yesterday, but 2000, yeah, on New Year's, I definitely remember. But time seems to be flying by, and the holidays are making more and more the time pass. So Thanksgiving is the kickoff day for the beginning of the winter holidays, quickly followed by Christmas, Hanukkah, and New Year's, and that whole list of holidays I mentioned earlier. It's a whirlwind time of the year. And David and I spent our Thanksgiving with family, and it was really nice because we didn't get to last year, as most everybody didn't. The holidays in 2020, were kind of a bust for many of us because of COVID and the lockdown and not traveling and everything. So we were really happy to be able to go to visit family this year, a couple miles, 50 miles away, but nonetheless. But we spent our family, our Thanksgiving with family, and David is fine with being in larger crowds for a short time. But if you have a brain injury, you know that it can get overwhelming and exhausting if you overdo it. One of the comfortable things for David is that he knows what to expect when he goes to our family's place, because we do it every year. He knows the people who will be there, and he is usually familiar with the house we are visiting. And then the last year, as I said, in the throes of the pandemic, Thanksgiving was canceled, and we had a quiet dinner at home. But this year, we resumed Thanksgiving at my brother's house with social distancing, of course, and various other precautions. And that caused both David and me a little anxiety, but we shortly settled in and we were fine. So my question now to Barbara and to Gail is, first off, I hope you didn't eat as much turkey as I did, but how was your Thanksgiving Day? Either one can go on.
It was Barbara. It was wonderful. I had an injury. With the brain injury, I got real dizzy one day, and I fell, and I had broke 3 ribs. So I was altered into not cooking, and we actually went to Cracker Barrel the first time.
Oh.
So my two sisters and I rearranged Thanksgiving and my nephew, and we went to Cracker Barrel, and it was wonderful. And my other nephew met us there afterwards, and it was the first time I met my great nephew. So we had a blind. So I had no dishes to do, no cooking to do. And it was wonderful. The food was great. The atmosphere was great. You see everybody laughing and having a good time. It was wonderful.
That's good. That's something different. Well, there was a few years after the kids grew up that David and I decided to boycott Thanksgiving, only because, you know, it just seemed senseless to make this big turkey for the two of us. And so we did some where we would just get in the car and we would say which direction. We were living in right outside New York City at that time. We'd say, which direction do you want to go? And we had a choice of south, north, or west. We usually didn't cross into New York that way. But if we went north, we could go into New York further up, but not through the city. And we had some amazing adventures, kind of boycotting. And what you're telling me about your Cracker Barrel thing sounds very interesting, because we did that too, where we ended up in a restaurant the day they were closing. That was their last day open. They were a family restaurant, and that was the last day they're ever going to be open forever. And we had a turkey dinner there, and it was the most god-awful turkey dinner, so I'm glad they closed. But another time, we went to another place, and they fit us in because they felt sorry for us. And we were waiting for a table, and probably about an hour or more waiting. And we ended up sitting with a man and his son at the bar area. We don't drink, but we were still at the bar area, and struck up a conversation with them to the point where when they were finally called for dinner, they invited us to join them. So we've had some pretty interesting boycotts. And your story reminded me of that. So that's really cool, Barbara. And what about you, Gail?
Oh, I had the best cook in the world cook for me, my daughter, and it was a very small celebration. And Thanksgiving is my favorite day of the year. The name is beautiful, and you know, I just really love sitting around with family and being grateful. So it was low-key, just the way I need it to be.
And I get that. That's one of the things now with when that during the pandemic, when it was just David and myself here, we were fine because we do very well by ourselves. And even with the you know, the Christmas holiday, it was all by ourselves. And it's just, you know, you make it what it is. You know, you make it what you want it to be, I think. And that's one of the things I think that people have to think about. And we go through some of that stuff here as we're going to talk through some of this tonight. But so I have to just say, because I mentioned that we're going to hear some thoughts from some friends of mine from social media. So I turned to social media to see how the holidays affected some folks and some of the groups that I follow. And permission was granted for me to share some of my friends' thoughts. So I use only their first names, though, just for privacy's sake. But so you're going to hear from some people on basically a Facebook, the social media that I'm talking about. So as we all know, holiday parties can be loud and raucous, which can cause havoc for survivors of brain injury. I mean, we've all been to those parties where it's really loud, especially if you go for like a New Year's Eve thing, and that New Year's Eve turns to the midnight, It's going to be loud screaming and yelling and some frivolity, a lot of frivolity. And so that for a brain injured person or a person who has a brain injury, that can be really difficult. And Rachel said, it can be so easy to feel overwhelmed. And I'm quoting Rachel now. It can be so easy to feel overwhelmed with questions, noise, and everything the holiday brings. But she said taking breaks really helps her. And that sounds like good advice. And I'm wondering, Barbara and Gail, does Rachel's comment resonate with either of you? Taking breaks during the big parties and things, or holiday stuff.
Oh, absolutely. You have to pace. I have to pace myself. And it's always best for me to be prepared. As you say, you and your husband know, you know, what you're going to do, although I have to give you credit for walking into an unknown situation and going with the flow. Sometimes that knocks me off.
Yeah.
But I really, if I don't pace, then I get tired and I can fall asleep from the flooding.
Okay, yeah. Uh-huh. And you mentioned flooding, and let's for people out there that may not know that, that's when your senses are just overloaded. They can be overloaded by light sensitivity, too much light. It can be noise. That's really a lot of it, noise. I think about that New Year's Eve party. That would cause people flooding. It would just be overwhelming where you can't function anymore. Sometimes you go to a busy mall, especially during the holidays, and people, the noise, the music is going on in the mall. The people are all talking and yelling and whatever. I mean, they're not yelling, but they're being more vocal. And, you know, and that kind of stuff just becomes too much for somebody who has a brain injury. And I think that's what you're talking about. Am I right, Gail?
Yes, absolutely. You're right.
Yeah.
I know
so,
once I
yeah,
was
so.
In a... I was in an event. I was at an event once, and it just got to be so much that I just fell asleep where I was sitting.
Yeah. Because you had to escape, and that was your way of escaping.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Deb tells me, Deb Brandon, who is often a panelist on here, and she's my co-author on one of the books we're working on, she says that, you know, when that happens to her, she just has to leave the room. She has to get out of the room into a dark or quiet area by herself. And she can rejuvenate some after a while and return, but it's just overwhelming and too much. And I don't think people understand that because they're all having fun and they're all laughing and giggling and, you know, guffawing, whatever, you know. But they still don't understand how that kind of noise or that kind of atmosphere, environment affects people. But it really can. I think if you think about a baby, too, a baby when, you know, when there's too much going on in a baby's life, when they're little tiny things and there's too much going on, what do? They squall. They scream. They let you know, this isn't good for me, you know. So, and, you know, we as adults don't usually do the squalling and screaming, but we do have to make sure that we get ourselves out of that situation so that you're not feeling overwhelmed, you know. Or go to sleep, as Gail does, that works. You know, so, Barbara, what about you?
Yeah, I travel during the Christmas holiday. I travel down. I'm in Virginia, and I travel down to South Carolina, and it's very fatiguing. And, of course, most of my family are morning people, and I am just not a morning person. so it's very fatiguing. I have to redo my whole schedule, and there's just a lot of events we do. My sisters and I, we do a CVS run every Christmas Day. It's kind of funny. That's our ritual. CVS Pharmacy. I'm into Frozen, the Disney movie Frozen. So we always run to CVS to see what we can get for Frozen. And it's just a ritual of ours ever since Frozen has been out. I collect all kinds of Frozen things. And so it's, you know, the presents on Christmas, it's Christmas dinner, and then it's the run to CVS. So it's a very exciting day, and it's very eventful. And, of course, being the traveling, it can be very tiring. And, you know, this year I ran into some events where when I started traveling an hour and a half into the drive, I started having double vision. So here I am on Interstate 95, and I started having double vision. So I had to drive pretty much all the way there, the rest of the way, with just one eye. So
I incurred a lot of
double vision while I was there. And I felt better on Sunday, and we went to Myrtle Beach. And my sister drove with my nephew because she was going to come back from North Carolina. And I got double vision again, so we had to make her stop and let my nephew drive. So I was incurring some of that this year, which I think it was medication. I'm having an issue with the medication that I'm on. But so that was a little nerve-wracking for me this year, a little different. But, you know, and the fatigue, I think the fatigue brought it on too. So
yeah,
it was
that's
just
amazing.
an interesting holiday.
Yeah, it's amazing what fatigue will do to your body, though. You know, you can be sailing along, doing okay, and then that neural fatigue that you get, or the exhaustion that happens, that people understand. They say it often. I'm exhausted. I am so tired. I can't move another beach or whatever. But they don't quite understand, and I'm probably going to say this a lot. But people don't. They don't understand, and there's no real way for them to understand unless it's happened to them or they're living with someone who it happens to. But that neural fatigue is debilitating. You know, it's like,
yes.
It's not just like I'm tired, I'm just going to take a nap. No, it's like I'm tired and I can't do another thing. You know, and I guess I can say that again. It's debilitating, and people don't really get that. But I think, you know, when that happens to you, you do have to stop. There's nothing more you can do. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go into another part of this. So often, especially when the brain injury survivor does not look like they have a brain injury, and we talk about this almost in every single show because it just always seems to come up. But around the holidays too, it can be even more difficult. So when you don't look like you have a brain injury, but yet you do, and you're having all these issues going on, and people can't see them, and your family members and your friends don't think there's anything wrong with you. Like they are. I mean, I've heard people say, "Well, get over it now. You know, this happened to you 5 months ago. Get over it. Stop using this for an excuse. You know, your brain injury. You're fine now. You had a brain injury. You hit your head. You were in the accident. Whatever, but you're fine." Because they don't see anything, and they don't see the wheels spinning out of control in the brain of their survivor when the noise gets too loud. They can't see the chaos in their brain injury survivor's brain either when he or she is trying to focus on too many questions. Think of that party before, and you're hearing conversation here, conversation to the right of you, to the left of you, to the back of you. You've got somebody in front of you talking, and you've got all these distractions and diversions going on, and it's hard to concentrate. It's hard to focus on that. And most of us, you know, who don't have a brain injury can do that. You know, you can kind of multitask that way. I can sit and have dinner with one group of people and tune into another conversation behind me. You know, it's not always easy, but I can do that, and it doesn't freak me out. But when that happens to somebody with a brain injury, it can really freak them out. So, and the people that you're with don't understand all the chaos that's going on in your brain when that's happening. And they don't know that it is completely impossible for their brain injury survivor's brain to discriminate between the nonstop conversations going on all around them. You know, it's just so, even though you've got somebody in front of you talking, you're not. It's hard to focus on that conversation because you're hearing everything else too. So that's very weird. So imagine a kaleidoscope, never stopping long enough to figure out what the picture is. you know, those kaleidoscopes, you look down the one tube, and then you see all these patterns falling on, and as you turn the wheel, everything turns into something brand new and makes a new pattern. And that's kind of like what this is happening. It might actually be a good description of a holiday party or a gathering for a survivor, how they feel. But Katie from social media says that when things get too loud and raucous at family gatherings, she excuses herself, but then she feels guilty for not being with the family. And that's when her depression sets in. And that seems a high price to pay, I think. Yeah? So Debbie says that she uses earplugs when the noise gets to be too much. That's a good idea. But she also uses breathing techniques to help calm herself down when she feels anxious. And both of those strategies are really good ones because you can easily affect or change your environment on your own. You're not relying on somebody else. So I admit using the breathing techniques, I do that myself when I become overwhelmed. And it's amazing how such a little action can help you to change your disposition. So, Barbara, do you have any secrets that you use when you become overwhelmed?
Well, I mean, unfortunately, I'm a smoker, so I'll excuse myself to go smoke a cigarette and break away from it. I'll do the tactic where I've got to leave. I'm running.
Yeah.
And it's great. Like when I'm at my parents' house, I'll go out on the back porch and start smoking a cigarette. But ironically, everyone starts following me out there. I needed a break.
Yeah.
But it's a good tool to make my break and to have my own solace for a few minutes. But my family is very aware. I'll put another tidbit in. I have partial seizures, so I have to be very conscientious as to how much noise I'm taking in, how much stress I'm going through, because I have to monitor that. So I have to take myself away from that environment when I'm feeling a little stressed and take that little break to make sure that the seizures don't come on. So
and your family understands that?
Everyone understands that. They're very alert to that. They accept that very well. They know when I start feeling bad, they're very supportive, very supportive.
Uh-huh.
So I am very blessed in that area. I've talked to them about it. I've explained it to them. So, yes, we have finally started getting them under control in the past year. And I've had an injury for 12 years.
Oh, wow. It's taken that long, though.
I'm on three different seizure medications.
Uh-huh.
So it's been...
Well, you're lucky.
I've had four parts of the brain affected with lesions because of the chemicals. So it really took a toll, which, like I said, you know, I mean, you and I have talked, it's gone into MS. So, you know, the
and
fatigue
that's what
just
I was
keeps
referring
coming.
To.
So, you know, the fatigue is real. The fatigue is there. And like you were talking about with exhaustion, you know, a person just doesn't even know what exhaustion is until you have an illness of some sort, and then you're like, oh, this is, you know.
Yeah. I wish I could
be
exhausted getting away like I was before, right?
Yeah.
You know, before
absolutely.
You know, because it's just a different measure. Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you've got your family to understand you, because I think that's a really difficult thing. I think people don't. I think that's one of the biggest complaints I hear from brain injury survivors is that people don't understand why they're exhausted or why they have to, you know, depart a party early or why they can't go out to dinner. they don't get what's going on with the person. And so when you say that you've talked to them and your family understands and can support you, that is really fortunate. You need to bottle that and give it away to everyone else, because there's so many people suffering because they don't have that kind of support, and we're going to talk about that too, losing friends. You lose friends that way too, because, they think you don't want to hang out with them because you're always saying, I'm too tired, or you're no fun anymore because you're too tired, you know?
I have lost friends over it, and I'm lucky for the friends that I've kept. It's a hard life. It's no joke. It is a hard life having a brain injury. You have a hard time communicating what you're going through, what you're feeling. People don't understand. And I think communication, you're embarrassed on what you're going through. It's hard to talk about it. And you have to communicate. You have to try to get people to understand. They can't guess on what you're going through. You have to communicate.
Yeah. And you have to probably do it over and over and over until they finally do get it.
It's a broken record.
Yeah, what about you? What kind of things do you do to refocus when things become overwhelming? And what do you do to calm yourself down?
Well, currently I am able to exercise again. So I mounted my bike the other day. I'm in Florida, and went out on my first of many more bike rides to come. And I have a swimming pool down here. So exercise is something I do to calm myself down. Meditation, getting massage, receiving massage, writing. And I really enjoy making art. You know, I think art making is very calming. Mm-hmm. Not only
do I think
the experts say it is. So that's why my, feeling misunderstood is so much of a key factor in the recovery of people with brain injuries. And so that's why I wrote this last book, to facilitate the understanding between the people who don't have the brain injury and the person who does. And I really think that for me, the more practice I get at doing something like this, thank you very much, Donna, and getting out and about, that I improve. You know, it's I relate it to when I was a competitive, you know, when I ran competitively or skied competitively.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is a competition I'm in right now with myself, and I'm going to get through this. So that's the way I look at
it. And there's that positive attitude. You know, and I think that positive attitude carries a lot of brain injury survivors through the very hard times that they have to deal with, and I'm going to say that also from the caregiver's lens, keeping a positive attitude helps immensely, because I know as a caregiver, and I mean, this didn't happen to me. It happened to my husband, but inadvertently it happened to me too, because, you know, he's my best friend. But I could have gone down that slippery slope of why me, just as he could have. But I'm putting the caregiver lens on right now and saying, why me? And, you know, this isn't fair. And, you know, although it isn't, none of this is, if I do that, what is it going to get me? But all kinds of negativity and depression and feeling miserable and, not enjoying life as it is that I have. And so I can't do that, and David doesn't surely either. He keeps the positive up in our family life too, and I have to as well, because it just makes things a whole lot better, folks. It just really does. And if you've ever been around people that are negative, even without brain injury, take away the whole brain injury you know, umbrella here. You don't want to be around people that are negative. It's no fun. You know, people are always complaining or being down or something's wrong with this. I've been around those people, and it's just no fun because I can't do that with them. I can't agree, oh, the waiter was really snotty, wasn't he? Maybe the waiter, you know, was a little terse. Maybe he was a little, you know, maybe he was busy. You know, I'll look at it. I'll look at the glass half full, let's put it that way. You know, and I think when you do that, when you look at it half full or even all the way full, more than that half, you're going to have a better aspect. You're going to have a better attitude on life. And I think that's important for everyone, not just in the brain injury community, but definitely for sure in the brain injury community when you've got so many, you know, challenges in front of you that you have to get through. And do it the best way you can, you know, make yourself happy. So I agree with you, you know, very much, Gil, that you just, you keep calm by doing the things that you love, the exercise that you want to do. David does that. He loves the exercise. Me, not so much, except for walking. I like to walk. But, you know, you just have to do things that make you happy. And when you're talking about the art scale, I got myself in because, again, as a caregiver, I had to refocus myself sometimes. And what I did early on when David was still, it's like probably in the first, not so much 5 years, but maybe after from 5 to about 15 years, I was maybe not quite that long, but I got myself interested in jewelry, jewelry making. And I set my a whole studio up in my office in when I lived in New Jersey. And I would sit there and I would craft jewelry. And when I was doing that, I totally zoned out. The only thing I was thinking about was which bead should go with which bead and how should I twist this wire or whatever. You know, and it was just, and David would watch me because he's told me this. He says, you were just so involved. And he said, it just made me feel so good to see you leave the world that we're actually in, you know, trying to, you know, get our way through to fall into this other world and just get lost. And that's what I think people have to do. And that's why I tell the story. You have to have something that you're passionate about that takes you out of the woe is me, you know, area that you might go into. I do that with theater also. When I'm a stage manager for many, many shows in my community. And when I'm at the theater, everything goes away. I'm always got my phone on ready for, in case David needs me, but I'm totally engrossed in what my work in the theater. And those are the kinds of things that you just need to clear your brain to make it open for other things that you're going to have to do, maybe more unpleasant things that you might have to do. So that's just my little thing of how I do it, how I can, you know, get through. We're talking about holidays, but we're also talking about life. So, yeah. So very, very interesting comments on that.
I think that cooking is good, too, creating meals.
Yes. Uh-huh.
You know, being creative with your food choices and putting together, I mean, that's an art, too, you know, the food art. So,
Yes. And there are a lot of people that just love to cook, you know. I'm not necessarily one of those. I just, you know, when we just moved to this new house, and I was like, I have to get a crock pot, you know, because I could just throw everything in a crock pot and leave, and I was making chili because it was really cold and rainy up here. And so I wanted to make chili. Like I finally got a pot and pan, you know, so I had a pan to put my thing in. But I couldn't leave the house. I had to stay here because it was over on the stove. I need my crock pot. So I, you know, David would be here and I could walk out and do something. But if I had to walk the dog, I had to turn off the stove. So guess what, folks? I've got my crock pot. I am good. So
crock pots are magic.
Yeah, they are. But the thing is, you have to find your own thing, you know. So if you like to cook, do it. If you like to walk or exercise, do it. If you like to paint or art or do jewelry, find it. If it. Maybe it's a book. Maybe you just want to read a book. Maybe that's what gets you out of your own world and into another world. Because I think you need to do that. You need to escape your seriousness sometimes. And, you know, just take a break. Take a break from life. Maybe that's what it is. So anyway, let's see. I want to go to prioritizing because I think that's essential for getting through the holidays. Deciding on which activities are most important and when the best time to do them helps to ease your stress. So for me, Barbara, here we go. I'm better at night. I'm there with you, Barbara. I'm a night owl. I'd rather do things at night than early in the morning, but I can accomplish much more then. I don't know if I wake up more at night, but I think most people work best during the day. But whatever time is best is your best time. Use that time. You know, use it. Frankly, I like, and I'm having to get up early now with the pup, with the little pup. And I like the mornings, too. And I like the afternoons, and I still like the night. So I need it all, folks. I just want it all, you know, you got to sleep sometime, I guess. So Barbara or Gail, let's start with you this time. Gail, how do you sort out important tasks from the tasks that you can set aside? You know, things that absolutely have to get done and ones that you might want to do or maybe have to do but can put aside for a while. How do you sort out that?
Well, I think there are, I just know that there are things that I have to do. And, you know, I can't imagine anything that I'm going to put aside other than I have tasks that I need to get accomplished every day. And that's the way I take it on. I don't like to think of putting anything off, but maybe I'm misunderstanding your question, Donna.
No, it's just, it's a pretty open. It's open, however you want to take it. It's just like how do you prioritize? How do you decide what's most important to do?
Well, I have a goal for, let's say, what I want to. With this last book, I had a goal. I wanted to finish my book by a certain date, a certain deadline. So every day, I knew there were certain things that I had to do in order to make that happen, and that's how I do things. So I set goals and then I work towards them in little increments.
Huh.
And so goal setting and then taking steps to accomplish that, I guess, is the simple answer.
Okay, and that's a very good answer because I think what I do is I'll make a to-do list and just put everything on it that has to get done. And then, of course, there are the things that have to be prioritized. They have to get done first, like it's coming up to a build due date, you know, so that has to get done. I may have wanted to write more on the book I'm working on, but if I see that bill's there, I'm not going to be able to concentrate on the book until that's done. So you just have to figure out what's going to work best in your life and how will things fit in. For me, I'll say, okay, well, I've got to do the bills. I know it's going to take me an hour to do everything because I overdo them. I file them in three different places to make sure I know that I've done it. It's a little anal, but, that's what I do, and I can't stop it because I've tried. But so I know it's going to take me a while to get things done like that, so I make sure that I've got enough time to do it for number one. And sometimes I'll say, oh, geez, I'm really, you know, I'm getting close to the date, so I'm going to do all of them, all the bills that are going to come up near that date. And I'll just go ahead and say, okay, that's got to get done first, you know, and I'll do something else. If I have a theater date, I have theater times, I'll be in the theater every night from 6 o'clock, you know. So I have to have things done before that, and that's a priority. Nothing else can happen after 6 o'clock. I've got to just do that. So I think that's how I work it out. And mostly it's the to-do list that kind of keeps me on target. But
you know what I found
helpful
for that?
What?
Oh, I'm sorry. You made me think of the non-negotiables. You were listing the non-negotiables.
Uh-huh.
So there are certain
yeah.
things that we know we have to have. We have to block out the time for, you know, to eat, to exercise, to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the leftover time. This is how I do it. I didn't think to say this at the time. But and then I fit in the other things that need to get done into that time so that all my time is used throughout the day. And there's time
yeah.
for rest, too.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Rest is what usually gets cut out for me. You know, because I'll say, okay, I've got to get this done. I'm going to stay up until it's done. And sometimes I'll work all the way through till 2 or 3 in the morning to get something that has to be done. There's a deadline on it, you know, because I hate missing deadlines. But so that's where I take, you know, I take the extra time out of that when I need it. And it's not good. It's not healthy. I'm not saying this to do to anybody. Frankly, you pick and choose. This is a menu of things. And when we talk about all these things, for anyone out there listening, this is just a menu for you to choose from. We're not saying do anything, any of these things, but if it perks you up and say, yeah, that's a good idea. But I'll tell you, even with my to-do list, it started to get too long, and I would get them done, and it was good because then I wouldn't cross them off, but I would put a check mark next to them in the date that I finished. So I always knew it was done, which was done, and it showed accomplishment, and that was really cool. But I started to have so many things, I didn't have time to put them on to the to-do list. Now, that's nuts. But that's what was happening. I just like, I can't do it. I can't go over there. I don't have time to put it on the to-do list. So I'm going to rely on my memory. And that always didn't work well. But but anyhow, still, that's, you know. But I do really highly think to-do lists are good. And I think I wanted to talk about that more down here, too. So, Barbara, what are your thoughts on prioritizing activities, especially during the holidays?
Well, since my brain injury, I've had an initiation problem of getting things started. So I actually have a problem prioritizing and getting things done. That's one of my downfalls. So I have to do sometimes a to-do list. You know, I'm sitting here laughing, kind of chuckling, listening to you guys, because I'm like, wow, man, they're go-getters. I've got a pool out that hasn't been cleaned in months, and that's one of the things that is riding on me right now. But you've heard me say this, Donna, I have the rule of three things a day. I've got to get at least three major things done. Well, not major things,
yeah.
but three things done a day. I set my goals.
Uh-huh.
Because of initiation issues, set my goal at three or five things to do a day, because I feel accomplished in that way. Because
uh-huh.
I am a night owl, I do tend to sleep a lot during the day. I do fight fatigue a lot. So when you're fighting fatigue, it's hard to get yourself initiated. So
Absolutely.
It's hard sometimes those goals done. So when you've got to
mm-hmm.
go to doctors, got to get things done. Like I get paid once a month. So when I get paid, get the bills done. Get the bills done right then and there. That way it's done. That's a priority.
Yeah.
So when I have to get my car serviced, you prioritize it, get it done. Those are main things that are a priority. When I have to get my dog into the vet, prioritize it, get it done. Like I said, the pool is still sitting out there. It's ugly. It's green. It's like, do I actually go swimming in this thing? But it's like, okay, you have the winter time to work it, to get it right for spring.
uh-huh.
But, you know, I try to keep my house up. I try to sweep every day if I can. If it don't, then I'll do it the next day. My biggest thing right now is I'm working on not beating myself up for not doing things. Like at Christmas time and over the holidays,
yeah.
go out one day and say, okay, you're going to go out and you're going to buy this many gifts and you're going to come home and just put them in a spot and then you're going to spend a day getting it all wrapped and done. And
mm-hmm.
this way you're not putting so much pressure on yourself. And So that's what I did. So I bought a lot of gift cards. So that, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of gift wrapping. Bags. Mm-hmm. I did a lot of bags. But initiation is hard for me. And that was, you know, before I got my brain injury, I worked 40 hours a week. And I was in the middle of my master's program. I was not a lazy person. And my psychiatrist, she's always, you're not lazy. You have a brain injury, there's an initiation issue.
Yeah.
And it's hard to swallow. It's really hard to swallow. I was always used to get up in the morning, have a job, get off from work, do the dinner, do the dishes, get right to schoolwork.
Mm-hmm.
I was always doing. And now it's like, well, what exactly did you do today? And it's hard for that switch. My mind goes all the time of what you need to do. And then when it comes to doing it, there's just no energy or excitement to do it. So it's when you talk about prioritizing, it's like, wow, I mean, what do I prioritize? I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Because the initiation is there.
Yeah. But it sounds to me like
you do
prioritize somewhat in the fact that when you get paid, you get the bills done. You know that that's a priority, you know, and you do that. But I get the thing about the initiation. It is hard, and I don't have a brain injury, but I often will find that it's hard to initiate things. I mean, once I'm started in something, it's hard for me to stop. I never thought about it as initiation. It's transitioning. You know, for me to transition from one thing to another is difficult, which is weird. Not always. Doesn't always happen to me. But sometimes, I know I'm shopping for furniture and things here, and I'll sit here and I'll have coffee in the morning and just do some things on the computer that I have to do, and I won't, I'll tell you to David, but I cannot make myself get out of here today. I really need to get started on this stuff, and I can't make myself do it. And I find that's really weird. And I guess that is part of initiation or transition, because it's transitioning from one thing to the next, but also initiating the next task. So, yeah, it's really weird. And I bet you you're not alone in this, for sure. I bet you there are a lot of people that have that issue.
I'll tell you, Donna, now with the Helping Hands Club, I have no problem getting it done. None.
Well, you know what? I think that's...
It's purpose.
Mm-hmm.
I have a purpose. And it's something to identify myself with.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the ordinary daily job, task of life that I have initiated. But with the Helping Hands Club, it's a nonprofit organization, boom, I'm on it. If I've got to enter a receipt, enter a donation, do a donation letter, boom, I'm on it. It's really weird. It's where I find identity with. It's where I'll find initiation.
Yes.
It's really weird.
Yeah, and that makes sense. It makes sense, though, because you have a passion for that. When I go to the theater, I don't ever have a problem with going to the theater because I have a passion for it. When I was making jewelry, I haven't made jewelry a priority right now because there are just too many other things to do that one ended up kind of on the wayside, although I still keep buying beads to work with because I like envision something and say, oh, my God, I want to do this. But it's a time issue for me on that. I just have too many things going on. But I understand totally what you're saying is when you're working with your Helping Hands in that group and doing the work for that, it's not hard to start because you are so into it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're sitting here and you have to get up and cook dinner, unless you are a person like Gail said, loves to cook, I'm going to, put it off. Say, oh, shoot, it's already 7 o'clock. I've got to do something now. What is it going to be? You know, so.
Yeah,
that's why I like the crock pot, because if I can throw things in early and then I don't have to worry about it. And usually I make it for 2 days or 3 days. So,
uh-huh.
There are some methods to my madness. So So anyway, yeah. So I'm still on kind of planning and organizing because I think that that's the key to making life easier and more manageable. That's why I was doing the to-do list, because I think that it was helping me keep on track. When I stopped doing it because I was so overwhelmed with even doing that, I became much more confused in myself. It was harder for me. I would go to David, what's my job today? What am I supposed to do today? Because I'm working the blog, I'm working the radio show, I'm working my children's picture books, I'm working two adult books that I'm working on. And it's like, I'm confused. What am I supposed to be doing? You know, and he keeps me organized. So everyone needs a man in their life or a woman in their life to keep them organized. So I've got mine. You've got to find yours. So so anyhow, making lists and checking them twice helps to keep me on target. And they can serve two purposes. They can help to keep you organized, but they can also give you the sense of accomplishment as you cross off the completed tasks. And I mentioned that earlier because that's why I never just erase them, because this way I have a whole list, and it's almost like a diary, a journal, of all the things I've done in the past weeks, months, years. So organizing the list helps to visually see which tasks are most important for me. Or I can just go down and, you know, I'll put a date on when they're completed, but I'll have them there so that I know go look at them all and say, oh yeah, that has to get done. It's coming up, you know, that kind of thing. But another social media friend, Christina, says that she writes out small lists of things that she and her family need to do daily. And I think Christina's key word is small. And see, that's the thing. I just make my list goes on and on and on. And then to do things in small chunks. So making short lists, you'll see accomplishments easier, faster. So making a long list and you'll become overwhelmed. Yeah, I need to take my own advice there. But my daily to-do list, like I said, just keeps growing. I kid, like it's longer than my leg. And I know the saying said it should be longer than your arm, but my list always exceeds the length of my arm. So it just makes sense to say it the other way. So, but I feel completely overwhelmed. So each day I try to tackle something on my list. And Barbara, I don't put a number of two of five or whatever like that, but I do as many as I possibly can, because some of them are easy. You know, some I can get done fast. Some take a long time. Like if I'm going to write two chapters or something, that's going to take hours. So I have to, you know that I'm not going to be able to accomplish a whole lot more, you know, than that. So anyhow, and then we talked about the importance of how, you know, what gets done first. So anyhow, I do think that small lists really can help. So that's one of the things I do. And it takes a lot of organization, time management, and lists. And Barbara, that's what you said a long time ago, that it takes a lot of organization, time management, and lists. That's a quote from you that I used from another show. And I know that you agree with that. So, and Gail, we kind of talked about that with you and how you keep organized. So I'm going to move on to altering your traditions, because going back to, you know, specifically the holidays again, I know the word tradition means a ritual done again and again and passed on for generations. But if the tradition causes stress and strain in your life, then I think it's time to make new traditions, or better yet, forego tradition altogether and do what comes easily. Whatever makes you happy at the time. So when my kids were little, I said that we all went out for the holidays. Turkeys on Thanksgiving, we didn't all go out. We went all out. That you know, we had turkeys on Thanksgiving, Christmas trees, presents and decorations, lights and everything. But when they grew up, we altered that holiday and we didn't go overboard anymore. And I kind of mentioned that with the Thanksgiving, you know, that we just kind of boycotted it a little bit. And we don't need all the glitz and the glam anymore. We just don't feel like we need that. Thank goodness we've come to those terms. But because traditions can be overwhelming. And so we decided that we wanted to be less stressed for it. So sometimes I never even bothered to pull up my little Christmas tree. We just would go through the holidays without even a Christmas tree. And believe me, that means I was really stressed, because all I had to do was pull a 4-foot tree out of a box and put it on the floor. You know, put a little skirt around it, pulled branches on a little bit, and the ornaments were already on it. You know, so, I mean, how hard was that? But I couldn't even do that sometimes. So I just didn't bother. So I think letting go of some of the holiday traditions, for example, New Year's, David and I used to always go to these big parties with family on New Year's. And then we stopped doing that. And then when David had his brain injury, we really stopped doing that. And I would do little things like, I'd make sausage, broiled sausage, and we'd have cheese with toothpicks and all this. And we'd sit on the floor in front of the fireplace. And, you know, I just put a tablecloth out. And we've been doing that for kind of years now. And so this year, New Year's Eve came, and I bought a little electric fireplace, but I haven't totally assembled it. And I went out. This time we got sushi. And I said, David, I'm going to assemble the fireplace, and we'll sit on the floor and eat sushi. And then I looked at him and said, no, we're not. We're just going to eat the sushi. And you know what? The fireplace, 2 days later, is still sitting there. I'm waiting for me to to assemble it. So the point is that sometimes you just have to alter things to make it easier. And it made it much easier. We enjoy it much more. If I had tried to go and build that darn fireplace and then eat the sushi, we wouldn't have enjoyed it as much. So, Gail and Barbara, are you okay with letting go of some of the holiday traditions in exchange for less stress? And can you talk about how you handle traditions for holidays?
This is Barbara. I've let go putting up the Christmas tree. I miss it. I keep saying I want to bring it back. But I've let go decorating because, of course, I do travel down to South Carolina. But
yeah.
I feel that it does get me out of the Christmas mode. But it's just me now, and I feel that why just have a Christmas tree for me? Why go through all the stress of putting it up, having the time to put it up, the energy to put it up, and then having to put it down? So I've skipped the Christmas tree. And of course, for New Year's, I don't do anything. I sit home and just stay home with my fur babies, and I'm happy with that. I don't want to get into a lot of, I don't want to get into any parties or anything like that.
Yeah, that was me in the beginning. Party, party, party. I wanted it. Now I could care less. So that's good. What about you, Gail?
Well, you know, right after my injury, I gave myself the opportunity to just allow myself to not do things as I had done before. You know, it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. But I really didn't have the energy. But it's been 7 years now coming up this February. And with every year, I was able to get more back towards where I used to be. The decorating, I realized that I really over-decorated. So there was really a great result. That was an upside to my injury, where I was allowed to see that, oh my goodness, we really don't need to go all out here. And I think that it's fun now to just approach each day organically, and that includes the holidays. You know, just give ourselves grace to not be perfect and just do what feels right in the moment and try to be good to ourselves and to other people. And and if you have that positive self-talk, I think it really brings you along.
Okay. And I think that's a really good note to end our show on, because it is that time almost. And it kind of went full circle on this too, but giving yourself the grace, giving yourself the space, giving yourself the permission to take your life and do what you want with it, to make you happy. And I think that's what you need to do, not only through the holidays, but through everything. And so on this note, I just want to say a great big thanks to all the contributors for this show, Rachel, Katie, Debbie, Kim, Christina, Carrie, Jamie, Roy, Lisa, Gio, Daz, Adele, Linda, and Robin. Many of them did contribute. I wasn't able to use everybody's comments, but I am grateful for their thoughts. And so I have to go into ending because last time, Gail, if you remember, we got shut off at 45. I don't think that's going to happen today. That was the third week, and there are new hosts on there, and I think I just got kicked out on that day. So I think I'm okay today, but I'm going to go into my ending. So I want to thank Gail Waitkin and Barbara Wilson so much for sharing your thoughts about the holidays with us tonight. I think we had a lot of interesting chatter about things, and I hope that some people can pick up on some of that, and maybe it will help them too to get through the holidays, which is, you know, they're just not easy always. And the holidays meaning 4th of July, you know, the Valentine's Day, all of these things that are coming up, they all bring their own issues and problems. So you can learn more about the Barbara Wilson and Gail Waitkin on my blog. And if you go, and you'll also, yeah, definitely go to Surviving Traumatic Brain Injury and you'll get more information there. You can read their interviews. You can read their interviews there, as well as other TBI survivors and caregivers, again, on Surviving Traumatic Brain Injury. There's a lot of information there, itty-bitty giant steps, brain injury resources. As I mentioned earlier, the COVID page. So if you want to get information from Columbia scientists about COVID, go right there and get it right from the horse's mouth, or I should say David's mouth. Anyhow, there. Let's see, you can read more about my book, Prisoners Without Bars, A Caregiver's Tale, at DonnaFigurski.com. And the next show, I will be interviewing a guest. Let me just go poke real fast to see who that's going to be. Yes, I thought so. Don Wasserman Corbelli. And she has a book out. I don't have it listed here, but I'll be reading that, doing my homework on that, and reporting to you on that to hear about Dawn's experience with her brain injury. So remember to tune in every second and fourth Sunday at 5:30 p.m. to listen to host Lisa Dreyer. She's the host of Mess with MS. And hopefully at 7 p.m. tonight, Matt Duffin will take over the microphone, and you will hear what he has to say. So if you loved my show, please tell 10 of your friends. If you hated it, well, tell 10 of your enemies. That works for me. So we're going to have to say goodnight for now. And don't let me forget to say Happy New Year to everyone. We've all come into the new year by now, so yeah. And Barbara Wilson and Gail Waitkin, thank you so, so much for being on the show tonight.
Thank you.
Okay, and I hope to hear from you both and hope to hear a lot of good information from each of you on shows that will be coming up. And so Happy New Year to everyone, and I'll see you in 2 weeks. Good night, everybody.